Scripture reading be taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Some of the history books that are being used by school children talk about the events on 9/11, 2001. Some children are told in these books that we should not blame anyone for the thousands of people who were killed. Young people are told that we should not say that anyone who was associated with the events on that day is a terrorist. Using that kind of label, these sources say, is inappropriate. It's not nice. We don't have the right. Some are affirming to make that kind of judgment. It's no secret that in some sections of this country, our society is so far out of control. But there are some words that people say we should not use. One of the terms that is no longer very fashionable is the word sinner. There are some people who, if they were to hear this word or have it applied to them, would find that to be a distasteful experience. Think, if you will, what would happen if we went out into our society and we went up to people and said, Are you a sinner? Can you imagine some of the responses that we might get from some folks? Perhaps not so much in this area, but certainly in some parts of the United States. Some would say, oh no, that doesn't describe me. I can imagine that others might say, I am a good person, so that term must apply to others. Another might say, well, I know some sinners, but I'm certainly not one of them. I prefer not to hear used that word because it lowers my self-esteem. Please do not use that word because it does not make me feel good about myself. A lot of the religion in today's society is designed to make people feel good. New Testament Christianity wants people to feel good, but it does not want people to feel good by avoiding certain words. The Bible tells us that in order to go to heaven, we must acknowledge the existence of sin in our lives. In the opening verses of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus provided some wonderful promises. These were read just a few moments ago. Jesus said that there are some people who will receive the kingdom of heaven. He said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, that there are some people in life who are going to be comforted. There are people who are going to be filled. These people will inherit the earth. They will obtain mercy. They will be sons of God. And the Bible says they will even see God. Who did Jesus say that all of these promises will go to? Notice, if you will, if your Bible is still open to Matthew 5, what's said in verse 3? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Who are the poor in spirit? The people who are poor in spirit are the people who admit, they acknowledge that they are sinners. This is the kind of person who is willing to come before God and does, and says to God, I have sinned. God, I'm not perfect. I've broken your laws. I've missed the mark. And because of my transgressions against you and your law, there has been a severance in the fellowship between us. Our relationship has been broken because of my sins. And Jesus says that this kind of person is the individual who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Matthew 5, verse 6. In Matthew 5, 4, Jesus said that this person has an attitude where they are grieved, seriously disturbed over their sins. Sinners are made aware of their wrongs and they acknowledge their guilt. I'm proposing this morning that in order for a person to be truly satisfied, for someone to really be happy in life, they must concede, they must willingly admit that they have sinned. We live in a time when there are a number of people who do not want to be made aware of the fact that they have involved themselves in wrongdoing. People say, well, that's going to make me feel bad. That's going to give me guilt. That's going to leave me with low self-esteem. If the Bible stopped with charging people with guilt, all of those things would likely be true. But that's just the first step in a great message. To recognize and to acknowledge sin in our lives is just the first part of a wonderful process. To get to the place that God has for His people, though, we must first acknowledge sins. We've got to own up to that. And we see this in different parts of the New Testament, one of which is Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to simply quote a couple of passages from there, not actually read. But on this day, the Bible tells us that preachers spoke to literally thousands of people. And some who listened to the gospel learned that they needed to acknowledge that they were guilty of sin. And the text says that there were some people on this occasion who did acknowledge that they were guilty. In Acts 2:37, the Bible says that there were some people who were pricked in their heart. What does that mean? It means, if we look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, that they mourned over their sin. It means that these people were poor in spirit, Matthew 5, 3. It means that they were hungering and thirsting after righteousness, Matthew 5, 3. They wanted to do what was pleasing to God. Peter showed them that God could bless them just like Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5. God could bless these people because they had the right attitude. And this is the second point that's important when we look at the word sinner. Consider what happens when people are made aware of or acknowledge their wrongs. Some people acknowledge a mistake, but then they laugh about it even though it's not funny. Others are made aware of a serious error, but they do not take it very seriously. Some are truly concerned about problems and errors, but they do not take any corrective action. And then there are people who, when they are told about sins and wrongs, they become angry. There are also those who say, we don't want to hear about it, or I'm just as good as anyone else, probably better, so go talk to somebody else. These responses are all common reactions to sin. And we really see these reactions in Luke chapter 15. Think, if you will, about three of the parables that Jesus described in the 15th chapter of Luke. In Luke 15:8, he talked about a coin that was lost. Did the coin care that it was lost? Did it know that there was a problem? No. And that can be compared to the kind of attitude which says, I don't know and I don't care. I don't want to know about sin. There's a second story in Luke 15, verse 5. Verse 5, where Jesus talked about the sheep that was lost. The 99 were okay. The one had gone astray. And that sheep was willing to receive help, willing to come back home. And that attitude is also similar to a reaction that some have concerning sin. There are some people who are willing to receive help, willing to do what's right. There's a third reaction to sin in the story. That's in Luke 15, verse 13. There was a young man who left home, willing to do what was wrong for a while, but a time came when he was willing to do what's right. And that's also true when we think about sin. There are people who, for a while, who are not unconcerned. Perhaps they laugh about it. They do not have the right reaction for a time, perhaps a long time, but the day comes when they want to make things right. If we want to further simplify man's responses to sin, think about the cross of Christ. Jesus was close to two thieves. There was one man who took the I don't care approach to sin. He died in his sins. But there was a second man on this occasion who had a much different attitude. He asked Jesus to remember him. He was concerned about his spiritual condition. No matter how we look at the word sinner, we keep coming back to the fact that there must be an acknowledgement of wrongs. And once that acknowledgement and awareness, once these things are in place, there will be an attitude. People will make some choice about sin. On the one hand, some will be concerned enough that they will do what God says. On the other hand, the remaining will not do what God says. John, and I'm going to turn to 1 John chapter 1. John describes in general terms the three reactions that people have toward sins. He shows that our attitudes generally point us in one of three ways. We're probably familiar with the information in 1 John 1 verses 7 and 9. We want to draw on those two verses, but we also want to pay close attention to what John says in 1 John 1 6. Because here John provides us with some information that's easy to overlook. He says, again, 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. People can be made aware of sin and even acknowledge sin, but still stay on the wrong path. John said it's possible to walk, to live in darkness. Most of us have met people who live in darkness. They acknowledge the right way. They know the correct way, but they do not live in that way. And that is a possible response to sin. Walking in the darkness would also apply to the person who makes fun of sin. The description even extends to the person who doesn't want to hear about sin. There are a number of ways to walk in darkness, and that's one way that we find that people deal with sin. Some simply, for whatever reason, do not want to deal with the wrongs in their life. If we take the entire thought in 1 John 1:6, we find that there is a second action that people can have towards sin. Some say that they have fellowship with God, but they walk in darkness. That is, John describes some people who pretended to be Christians. They went through all the acts, but they were not sincere. Nothing more than a show. Some say that they want to deal with sin in their lives, Christian and not, But that's not really the case. Such a person will acknowledge sin, but they have the wrong attitude. And John said, when people take that course, that's also walking in darkness. There is, however, a third kind of action. And this is described in verses 7 and 9, the first part of each verse. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light. And also in 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins. The verses that John describes give us three different responses to sin. And if we tie that in with what we have, as far as the preceding information, here's what we have. First of all, to be pleasing to God, we must be made aware of sin. And we must be willing to acknowledge sin in our lives. And this, of course, is the unpleasant stage. It's not something that's very enjoyable. After we become aware of sin, we are going to have some kind of attitude towards it. And we've looked at what those might be. It may be the attitude of the thief on the cross. People see what's wrong and they want to change. They want to live in the right way. It may also be the other kind of attitude that we see. People sometimes refuse to repent. Or it could be the response that we have in 1 John 1:6, hypocrisy. We hope it's the attitude that Paul described in 2 Corinthians 7:10, where he talked about having godly sorrow. That's the kind of feeling, that's the kind of emotion that Jesus depicted in Matthew 5. People mourn over sin. That's what we see in Acts 2:37. The people were pricked in their hearts. When people have godly attitude, then they're going to want to walk in the light, as John described in 1 John 1. They will have an interest in confessing their sins to God because they know that they can have forgiveness. Most of us, at one time or another in our life, are going to deal with people who are bothered by sin. We have therapists. We have psychoanalysts. We have counselors. We have multiple kinds of people in the helping profession to deal or help people deal with things such as guilt and shame. And Christians sometimes deal with these or face these same kinds of problems. In the New Testament, we have the solution for man's greatest problem. And it's a solution that will work in the lives of others and in our own lives as well. And it's a solution that we need to be aware of, use, and to share with others to become a Christian. The Bible shows, as you look at Matthew chapter 7, that people must be willing to admit that they are a sinner. Contrary to the idea that sinner is a bad word, it is a good word. It's an important word. It is a necessary word. It is a word that shows people that they need help and that help is available. When people admit their need and they have the right attitude, the Bible shows, and we've established from this lesson, that they can take action. If the person is not a Christian, they are commanded to repent and to be baptized. Acts 2:38, also Acts 10, I believe, verse 48 in that chapter. After people are baptized, they're not perfect. The Bible shows that each individual continues to sin. The best of Christians sometimes fail. Sad as that is, that's true for each one of us. After sin occurs, when we think about the information that's been presented in this lesson, there needs to be an awareness of sin. There needs to be the right attitude and desire to live according to God's wills and ways. The right attitude is necessary both for the Christian and the non-Christian. And while the awareness is the same for both, while the attitude is the same for both, there becomes a parting of the ways when we deal with the action. For the non-Christian, the action is after faith and repentance. Person is willing to confess Christ as Lord, they are required to be baptized, as we see again Acts 2 and Acts chapter 10. But the child of God is someone who has already been immersed for the forgiveness of his or her sins. And that's why John in 1 John 1, in writing to Christians, said that that individual, the person who is already in a right relationship with God, the person who has been saved, that individual needs to confess the sin. Confession is made to God, and there is a turning away from what is wrong. Today we ask, if we as individuals have been made aware of sin, have we had, at some point in the past, had the courage to admit wrongs in our life? If we've reached that stage, what has our attitude been? Do we want to do what's right? Or do we want to bear that burden of our wrongs by ourselves? The Bible says that we can be forgiven. The New Testament shows in a number of places that the record can be wiped, completely clean. Total forgiveness is available. Our actions determine whether our sins will be retained or forgiven. So as we think about what the Lord says to us in His Word, are we someone who needs to act? Has the time come for us to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins? If that's the case, we can help you with that this morning. If you're a Christian and we can help you in some other way to act, a Christian who needs assistance, we'd like to render that aid. All need help at one time or another. And if you need the prayers from the people who are here, we have some people who are willing to do that. If you need to be baptized into Christ, if that's the action that you need to take, that can be done as well. Is there a way that we can help you right your relationship with God? That's what we're asking. And if the answer to that question is yes, we invite you to come now as we stand and sing.